Sublime Cool Tech, March 23rd, 2006.
You're listening to Blind Cool Tech, the podcast about ordinary, everyday blind people. Coming to you from Louisville, Kentucky. Now, here's the host of Blind Cool Tech, Larry Skuchkon.
We're about to listen to a presentation by Andreas Hoob about the interactive recognition and localization of objects for the blind by matching stereo images, orientation, and 3D model information.
So, good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming so soon in the middle of the night. I'd first like to introduce myself. My name is Andreas Hoob. Perhaps you would say Hub. It's H-U-B. And I would tell you something about the interactive localization and recognition of objects for the blind. I did this work together with a student, Tim Hutter, and the head of our group, Thomas Erten, within the Visualization and Interactive Systems group at the University of Stuttgart. First, perhaps something about Stuttgart. The VIS group is close to the airport, so there are only a 10-minute drive from the International Airport of Stuttgart. So whenever you come to Stuttgart, feel free to visit us. Don't hesitate. In the region of Stuttgart, a lot of many people are working in the car industry. For example, Porsche in the north of the VIS group, or Mercedes in the south. Also, our group is working for the car industry. For example, we do flow visualization, or we also have developed a crash viewer, and we do medical imaging, so we have some experience in 3D visualization and modeling. For example, the visualization of large data sets like galaxies, and this can be presented, these results, the models, on a quite nice power wall. Yes, that's it. And here in the middle, you can see an image of the head of our group, Thomas Appel. We also worked for the blind a long time. For example, my colleague has developed together with Metec from Germany a tactile pin display, and blind people can feel graphics on this pin display. Another colleague is working on mathematics for the blind. In former times, this was SMFB. Now the project is called Lambda. It's an European project. So, now back to the title, back to the topic of this talk. 3 years ago, we moved to a new computer science building. And this was the time when our blind colleague really had problems. For example, he didn't know where he was, which way he should go, or if there are any dangers. At the beginning, the building was not ready yet, and he even did not know where the main entrance was, or the door, or if there's something in his way. That's why we had the idea to combine local sensor information with environment models, because we thought it is not possible only using cameras or sensors to recognize or localize objects. I'm sorry, but I don't have a 3D environment model of the Marriott or the Hilton hotel. I didn't have the time to build it up. Otherwise, it would be possible to navigate within these hotels easily. And so you and I have to live with the 3D model of the computer science building of the University of Stuttgart. You see an image, quite nice, and we have a lot of details within this 3D model. you will see it later on. The goal of this project was to develop a client server system, and the BD model is saved in the so-called Nexus server. I will this explain later on. And we have a superstructure of this model. First, we have the complete building, then we have different floors, and within the floors we have the rooms and the stairs, and within the rooms several objects like a waste basket or a door or a cupboard. And the idea was to develop a sensor module, and here you see the first prototype, which gives us the position, that is to say the name of the building and the floor and the room number. And this prototype also should give us the name of the frontmost object and the distance to this object. And the idea was also to do navigation, like car navigation, and for example that a blind user could select the main entrance, and the system should provide a route suggestion, say you should go 2 feet straight ahead or turn left, turn right, and so on. The current prototype looks like this. The server is actually the laptop I have here. It's a normal Pentium 4 processor with 2.8 gigahertz, and there on this server there's the 3D environment model. Over a Wi-Fi connection, this server is connected to the portable computer, which is connected to the sensor module. The portable computer is a sub-notebook, and its weight is about 2 pounds. And with this sensor module, it is possible to measure the local sensor information, and the name of the objects is given over audio output. We have developed 2 different sensor modules. One is hand-guided, and integrated into this hand-guided sensor module, there's a stereo camera, the 3D compass, the 3D gyroscope, and the 3D acceleration sensors. The blind user can use this sensor module over a keyboard, and you have the possibility of single or continuous measurement, and you can choose between different options. For example, you can distribute information about the features of the objects, or only the object's name, or the direction, and so on. This model, this sensor module, can be used together with the cane or without. And it is used like a mixture of a cellular phone or a flashlight. The other sensor module is head-guided and allows a hands-free operation, and also has integrated a stereo camera and the inertial sensor, including the 3D compass, the gyroscopes, and the acceleration sensor. And here you can see my student Tim Huffer and the blind colleague Alfred Werner testing the system. Let me shortly explain the system architecture of our system. Let us start with the object, say a table or a chair. This object is seen by the sensor module, and we get from the 3D compass and the stereo camera the viewing direction. The sensor module is connected over cable to the client, the portable computer, and the audio output, and we can over Wi-Fi determine the position of the client. Together, the viewing direction and the position will be transmitted to the server, where the 3D environment model is saved. And there we can, if we know the position and the viewing direction, determine the object, the name of the object within the model. Now I'd like to show a little diagram showing the 3D model and the interactive object recognition. Here you see...
Welcome. System is ready.
An image of my office, and I can move within this office or the model of the office and just press a keyboard, and the name of the corresponding object is provided immediately.
Door.
And even very small
light switch
objects like a light switch or
door handle.
A door handle are recognized immediately.
One board.
There's also a continuous running mode.
One board. South wall. South wall. South wall. Cupboard west. First cupboard door. Cupboard west. Second cupboard door.
Yes.
Cupboard west. Second not cupboard door.
Not all object names are very good so far, so we have to think about some. And I've also, within the next movies, I will show you not all names of the objects are translated to English, because these are thousands of objects within this model. And I will show it now that it is possible to recognize interactively model objects with our new prototype. First, I have to explain the structure of the movie. On the left side, at the bottom, you see the one of the camera image. On the right side, you have the 3D model. And on the top, on the left side, you see a 2D map. This is perhaps the most important image. And the red-green thing is the camera, and you will see the camera moving around within the 2D map. And now I would like to show the interactive object recognition. We will see here in the first line the room where we are, the coordinates. Then we will see the frontmost objects, in this case the floor, in a special distance. And in the third line you will see some warnings before objects. So now we'll start moving. And now you see that the red chair is recognized. We look around in the room. At the moment, the camera is static. And you see that we recognize the whiteboard, the blackboard, the tables, the floor, interactively. I'm sorry that I could not give the audio output, because it was not possible to do the image processing, the rendering of the 3D model, the audio output together with the recording the all. So, but I hope you will believe me, and also the sighted persons in this room, that this is very fast, this object recognition. Yes, perhaps the next time I can show it together with the prototype. I'm also sorry about that I could not bring the prototype with me, because I asked at the security at the airport, and they said, oh, you have a prototype with cables. This is not a good idea to bring it in an airplane. This could even be a bomb. So you have to wait until we have finished the product, and then I can show you the whole system. So, you have seen the object recognition from a static position. Our main problem was, and I think it's the main problem of all navigation systems, to localize persons in buildings or outside the buildings. And we wanted to do it without any infrastructure, or just with conventional infrastructure, for example, normal Wi-Fi systems or access points. We started with the Wi-Fi system. So here you see a map of the second floor in the computer science building, and we measured the signal strength of the access points, and using these signals, it is possible to determine the position of a person with an arrow of about 12 feet without map information. This can be optimized if we include collision detection, and then we have perhaps 10 feet, but it is not perfect. We have to say we know in which room we are, but this is not really what we wanted. Then we tried to localize the user with the stereo camera, one that you have already seen, the head-guided and the head-guided system. And there, now I have to go in a little bit deep in the details of the camera-based distance estimation. We have two images, the left one and the right one, and we are searching for feature points within both images. So, for example, at the corner of this display, we can find this corner in both images and calculate the depth of this corner within the disparity image. So we get a complete image of a depth image of the distance, and the white objects are very close to the user and the black objects are far away. The feature points can be calculated, or we can distinguish between the corners and edges by calculating the eigenvalues, and therefore we have to calculate the derivation in different directions, and when the eigenvalues are close to each other, then we have a corner. If there's a large difference, then it is an edge. One more technical slide. We calculated about 100 feature points for each scene and inserted three depth lines in different heights of the image. Then we averaged about these feature points, and this gives us an estimation of the wall distance. And here in the left side, you see feature points, the red ones, who are too far away to have wall distance, and the white are too close, but very pretty good are the yellow ones, and they have wall distance, and so we can compare the distance information from the images with the distance information from the model. And this allows us to localize the user within the 3D model. This I also want to show within a short movie. And perhaps you should look at the camera on the left side, on the right side, and I start the movie, and you will see that the camera will move to the right position. And what you also can see, that we can continue with the object recognition and the warnings. For example, if a table is only two steps away, and I think it is possible to see that the correspondence between model and reality is pretty good. There are some problems, for example, if we have large hallways with walls who have only one color, say white, for example, this is then we have no contrast within the image, and we have to think of other solutions. And in this case, we estimated the vanishing point by lengthening of wall edges. Then we selected feature points nearby the vanishing points here in the middle of the image, and we track these feature points without a new calculation. And this allows us to do also the object recognition very fast, also in under difficult conditions. And I will also show a movie. We start within my office room. Here you see the camera moving within the office room. Then we will go out into the hallway with the difficult walls, only wide walls and wide doors. And we will walk to the next office. And you see that the arrow is a little bit larger than in environments with a lot of contrast, but you can see that it's also possible in under difficult lighting conditions and contrast conditions to localize the blind user. Please, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask me. And here I would like to show some results, some typical results for rooms. We have a measurement arrow of about 2 feet, and within hallways the measurement arrow is between 2 and 10 feet. And we have another problem. While testing the system, we saw that it may be possible that the sensor module looks straight forward while walking on stairways, and so it is always necessary to scan the environment systematically. That's why we introduced an augmented modeling for navigation support for the blind. And the basic idea is to insert squares within the 3D model in front of stairways or hallways, intersections or doors. For example, in the case of a staircase, we can say that there is a door to a staircase and that there is a stairway with 7 steps and banisters on both sides, and that the blind user should turn left at the landing. So here I would like to show a movie. Here you see only the 3D model on the bottom and the 2D map on the top. And we insert in front of my office an info point, and you can see here that we can save the names of the people who are working in this office. And now we are going out to the hallway. We will insert a second info point that is called hallway intersection. We turn to the right side and insert the next info point in front of the men's restroom, the men's room, and then we will go back, and you will see when we, while walking on these info points, the information is provided automatically again. Here you can see the names are distributed, and this can be transmitted to the blind user very fast. And here's a movie which shows the prototype and the camera image. Let me start from the beginning again. We also can say by the comparison between the distance in front of a door, if a door is possibly open or closed. And in this case, the door is open. Now we go out of the room into the hallway. And you also can see that image and model match pretty good. Now we will turn right into the other, into the large hallway, and we will insert an information point. This is a very fast one. You will see it only very short, a red information point, a red square, which is inserted into the model. Now, you have seen, it was very short. And we go to the stairway. And here you can see already an information point, and while walking on this information point, the information of a stairway with seven steps can be given immediately. For deafblind persons, we developed we connected our system to a portable braille display, and this prototype type allows the interactive object recognition for the deafblind, also the learning of native and foreign languages while navigating the environment, and last but not least, the navigation with a modeled indoor environment for the deafblind. Yes, please.
The feedback to the person is, you said it's going to be audio primarily, but in this case it's braille tactile.
Yes.
Do you have feedback, consider it, that would be in fact a tactile tablet, or they could in fact be seeing a two-dimensional view of the surrounding three-dimensional environment?
You mean for a sighted person?
No, for a blind, deaf person, rather than a tactile braille written term, which is basically words,
yes.
You have a picture that they can see.
You mean a tactile braille display or something like this?
A tactile braille display that would in fact change as the person rotates, or as your camera moves.
I think the problem with this system would be to make it portable. And I think this will also be very expensive. When I think of the cost of our tactile braille display, I don't think that it will be... It is, from the technical point of view, it is possible. But I see some problems concerning the costs and the the portability. But I've thought about to put some smart sensors on the back of a blind person. Perhaps this will be help to support the navigation. Does this answer your question?
Well, of course, it's expensive for an individual to purchase this,
yes.
But to make one to check the feasibility of the product would only cost $100,000, which the National Science Foundation would probably pay for.
Oh, okay. Then I should ask this foundation. But at the moment, we have not the possibilities at the university. We have not so much money, but if there are solutions, I would be happy.
Well, when we send humans to Pluto, they're going to need something like this.
Yes. Okay. Perhaps we can talk later on about this.
I have a question as well.
Yes, please.
What happens in the model when other individuals, like other people, are navigating around the hallways and so on?
I will come to this topic later on. Okay. If you have a few minutes... So this is our future work, and we also started with the future work. For example, the detection of movable objects like chairs or phones or tables. And we also would like to update the 3D model automatically just by the user. And we have to optimize the software ergonomics. We have to think of the security of the system if we use the client-server solution, but it is also possible to do it only locally. That is to say, if you have a laptop with enough computing power, we can do it only on the laptop, and you will have no security or privacy problems. We would like to extend to our system to outdoor navigation, and we also want to detect fast moving objects like cars or motorcycles or things like that. We want to give support in stores and at the workplace or even in the nature. That is to say, we don't need infrastructure, or we only use this, we only need the starting point, we can in principle go everywhere you want. And last but not least, we want to integrate the prototype and our system, our navigation assistant system, in the so-called Nexus platform. This is part of the Center of Excellence at the University of Stuttgart, and I start with this. The basic idea is of this Nexus infrastructure or the architecture that we have different applications like the blind navigation system, or for example a tourist guide or a smart factory, and this and we have also a federation layer, and services from different providers will be federated into this federation layer, and the different applications can use this information for the individual needs. Then we come close to your question. We started to detect movable objects. Therefore, we need a training phase. And here we have the image of the reality. We can determine the outline, for example, of a chair. We determine also the histogram of this object. And last but not least, the color of the object. And then we can try to recognize this object in the next scenes. And we look for this outline, the histogram and the color, and look if this object description of outline, histogram and color match with the searched object. And if it is like this, we can update the 3D model. Histogram is a normal color image, consists of three RGB planes, and if you look at the distribution of the RGB values, then you have the histogram. And to do this, we used alpha blending algorithm. We multiplied the normal image with a factor of 0.9 and the depth image with a factor of 0.1, and this gives us a pretty good image for segmentation. For the segmentation, we use conventional recognition algorithms like region growing and outline analysis and the classification of color, which I have done in my PhD thesis. And this allows now the comparison between reality and the model. You have seen the self-localization, and if we find a new object, we can update the model according
to these changes?
Is the model created manually in the laboratory, or is the model created in real time from the camera?
This would be nice. This will be also future work. No, at the moment we have to measure all distances within the model. This is a little bit, this is a lot of work which our students do, but we are working on developing a system which gives out a 3D model immediately. And I would like to show now the training and the tracking of movable objects. One more time. The reality in the left image, we have the red chair. We will train this chair. You have seen this. Then I will move this chair, and then we will search for this chair again. And you see, we can recognize it, and we can insert a model of this chair within the 3D model, and we can move it around, and the 3D model is updated immediately according to the movement of the chair. Perhaps one more time. I'll move this chair around. We recognize it again. Insert the model of the chair and move the chair around, and we can track the chair without any problem. And last but not least, I want to show the face tracking we also started. You see the yellow square allows us to recognize a face. We can insert a model of the person, and we can track the person in reality, and you also can see that the model is updated immediately, interactively, and I think this is what blind people want.
How does this system do this amid clutter and other, I mean, these are all isolated models that you're showing us. The chairs are not always in the center of the aisle. Somebody throws a trash can in there, or there's somebody sitting and walking across in front of it. How does it, is it able to go beyond a block in front of it?
Sorry, I didn't.
You have an ice, like this is isolated movement of one person.
Yes.
If you had many people in the room, would it still be able to do that?
Yes, it would be possible. If we use several descriptions, this would be possible. But we need a database, for example, for different faces, and then we would also be able to distinguish between different persons.
So if the chair would, like, move behind the desk, it would still recognize the chair behind the desk?
This is a problem. If you can't see the chair behind the table...
So you lose
yes.
The whole image. Okay.
Okay.
What happens if the chair is tipped over? Can it, you know... Will it know that the chair is there, but on its side, sort of thing? Like, can it flip the image enough to say, you know, I don't know what that is, so I'll spin it around until I see if I know what it is.
Then we have a problem at the moment, but I also thought about the solution to give or to say the blind user that he should turn around or look from another position to the chair, and then this could help, but. It's not possible for all directions.
Have you taken into account the speed of a blind person moving in an algorithm?
We just used the speed of a normal person, so we were walking with normal speed,
okay.
And so this is no problem.
Still do not answer. In the hallway, you would not know who the individual is. There may be somebody walking in the hallway.
Yes.
You wouldn't recognize there's another somebody behind the human or a person, or an object moving towards them or away from them that they need to get away from. Or object that's left in the hallway by somebody who left a tray there or a cart there. Something.
Yes.
Which is what happens all the time.
Yes, if it is an unknown person, then we only can say that we can also say that there is a person.
Okay.
But we cannot say who it is.
No, it doesn't matter, but when you're walking in the hallway, you don't want to be bumping into people. So if there's a person coming towards you, away from you,
this is no problem. Yes, we can provide information like turn a little bit to the left side or right side.
So stay here. And how about objects that are left in the hallway that were not naturally there?
We can provide the information that there is an object. We cannot say that what it is, but we can say there's an object within 2 feet or 3 steps.
Well, that's good.
And we have seen this train this unknown object and insert it into our database of the 3D models.
So what would it take to expand that to an unknown environment, just to a random environment for recognition of objects and people?
At the moment, we need the 3D model, or at least a 2D map. But as I said, we are working on providing the 3D models just using the camera of the blind user. And this says if you have been once there, it should be, or we hope it should be possible to recognize this environment again. And but there is a lot of work to be done.
Along those lines, I have an idea that may make you billions of dollars, and that is that rather than have your laboratory figure out all the answers, you could have what we would describe as a screenwriter. In other words, a sighted person puts on your gadget, walks through the building, and in fact says, there's the door, there's the stairs, make sure you go slow, it's 5 steps up, puts all the same verbal feedback that your system presently provides, but does it 20 minutes or 2 days before the blind person has to go in that office building or down that street. And then all your camera has to do is recognize it's looking at the same picture in the same location.
We have started this project together with colleagues from the University of Tübingen. They have a system, a small car you can move around in the building, and this gives you a 3D model with all details, textures, and the colleague said, for example, our institute it is possible to produce the 3D model within 1 day. So, but at the moment we have a problem of different formats, because and this has to be solved before we can do this, because we have a special format and he has a special format, and we have to match these.
Well, in artificial intelligence, this would be called a learning system or an expert system.
Yes.
The military has lots of these.
Yes, I'm sure.
About making a 3D model, I'm still a little confused. Like, you didn't have time to do this building. How much time would it take to make a 3D model of this building?
Of this building? It depends on the level of detail. I think the floors and walls and doors, perhaps, I would say, 1 week. And if you...
One week of one person? Or just the blueprint?
The blueprint with walls, with doors and so on. It looks really in every floor same. But if you want to have very detailed information about the objects, object features, color and so on, you this costs a lot more time. Okay, if there are no other questions, I will come to the conclusion. We have developed an assistance system for the blind and deaf blind, which allows the self-localization and orientation support. It allows the interactive object identification of modeled and trained objects. We can provide augmented navigation support by virtual information points. And we provide this information acoustically or over tactile output. This new system can be used as learning aid for languages and orientation and mobility. And you have seen that it is possible to track faces or movable objects and to update the model. I don't want to stop this talk without thanking my blind colleague Alfred Werner and the German Research Society who gives us the money to do this work. Thank you very much for your attention.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and our comment line is 206-984-9203.